Morning. Thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, that we know that your presence is here with us. What a privilege, Lord, to come into your presence and just to be a part of what you are doing here on earth, Father God. Lord, we just welcome you. Holy Spirit, come and continue to do whatever it is you desire to do. God, we want you to have all the praise and the honor and the glory for every good thing that comes from this morning, Father. Thank you that you promise that your word will not return void to you, but goes forth to accomplish what you desire. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Just think about that for a few seconds. Just in your mind, think, who am I? What would you say about yourself? Who do you think you are? So maybe you think, well, I'm a mom, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm, you know, a daughter, I'm a farmer, I'm an oil field worker. That's your identity. That's who you think of yourself as you are. I read this story about this guy down in the States several years ago. Maybe you heard it. A worker at Burger King came to work one morning and saw this guy laying behind the dumpster. He was unconscious and naked, and it was obvious that he had gotten some beatings to the head. So they got this guy to the hospital and got him bandaged up, and finally he became conscious, and when he became conscious, he had complete amnesia. He had no idea who he was, and he had no identity. Everything had been stolen from him. He was completely naked, stripped naked, and he didn't know if he was married. He didn't know if he had kids. He didn't know where he lived. He didn't know what he was doing here. Can you imagine just waking up one day in the hospital and you have no idea who you are, no identity at all, don't know anything about yourself? I mean, just imagine that. It's crazy. I don't think we can even imagine it. And it was so sad because if he had a family, they didn't know where he was and he didn't know them. But I feel like, I think what is even more sad and what is more tragic, that as Christians, I believe almost every one of us has had some form of our identity stolen. And I think that if not every one of us, for sure almost every one of us. And I don't mean your physical identity, like you may say, well, I've never had my credit cards taken or never had my identity compromised. I don't mean our physical identity. I mean our spiritual identity, that almost every one of us has had some amount of our spiritual identity stolen from us. So why would our spiritual identity be stolen from us? Well, because Satan knows that God has huge, amazing plans for every one of his children while we are here on earth. In fact, 1 Corinthians says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. No human mind can even imagine what God has prepared for those that love him. And yes, I believe that means for when we're in heaven, but I also believe that it means right here while we're here on earth. That we cannot even imagine the huge, amazing plans that God has for us, the things he has for us to accomplish while we are here. And Satan knows that too. He knows how much God loves his children and that he has huge plans for us. So of course he wants to sneak in however he can. And that's a big way he can do it, is by stealing our identity so that we don't know who we truly are, so that we don't walk in that. So how does our identity get stolen? Well, I thought of three ways. One of the biggest ways, I believe, is comparison. We see the gifts and the talents that someone else has, and we think, well, I'm not like that, so obviously they're better than me, or I can't do what someone else does, so, you know, I'm not good enough. We compare ourselves to other people, and, maybe something like, I can't sing like Kelly, so I'm not even going to try. Or, you know, I can't speak like Pastor Bill or Pastor Aaron. What are people going to think? Or I can't do sound like Carson and Stacy, so, you know, I might as well just not even bother. Comparison. And Theodore Roosevelt, a long time ago, said this quote, comparison is the thief of joy. When we compare ourselves to other people, we're not walking in our lane that God has called us. We're too busy looking around at what other people are doing instead of focusing on the call that God has for our lives, and that will steal your joy. Another way that I believe that our identity can get stolen is by negative words that have been spoken over us. And, you know, maybe in the past, maybe a long time ago, or maybe it happens regularly now. You have someone that speaks negative words over you or to you or about you. You know, maybe as a kid, someone told you were stupid or you were too slow or, you know, you could never do that. You couldn't accomplish something like that. And I feel like those negative words are almost like weeds being planted in a garden. And those weeds take root and they grow up in our minds and our spirits. Whether we realize it or not, those negative words that have been spoken over us can have a huge effect on our lives. And I would just encourage you that if you find that you do that, that you speak negative words over someone else or over yourself, to try not to do that anymore and to ask God to help you, because it has an effect. Whether we see it immediately or not, it really does. And finally, another way I believe that our identity gets stolen is by our own words and our own thoughts. Satan can, you know, plant thoughts into our minds, and we grab onto that, and we say those negative things over and over to ourselves. You know, I read a study that said, on average, the average person has 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts a day, and that 80% of those thoughts are negative, and that also that the thoughts that people have in general, the thoughts we have, 95% of them are the same thoughts from the day before, and the same thoughts the day you had before the day before that, and the same thoughts the day before that. We just continually repeat. 95% of our thoughts are repeated day after day, and 80% of them are negative for the average person. So that means at least 10,000 thoughts a day negative going through our heads. That has got to have an effect on us if we don't get a hold of it. And there's a proverb that says, as a man thinks, he becomes. And another way to put it is, what you focus on grows. So if 80% of your thoughts are negative, that's obviously what you're focusing on. And that's what's going to grow in your life, is the negative. And, you know, things like, God could never use you, or you can't do that, or you couldn't accomplish it. Those negative thoughts going on over and over and over again are going to have a huge impact on your life. Well, the good news is that God wants us to know and live and thrive in our true identity. He doesn't want to leave us there. He wants us to live with our true identity. So, even more than we do. So, I have to share the story of our fridge with you guys. I'm going to throw myself under the bus here and tell you something about me. We have this fridge. It's only a couple years old, and it's a really nice fridge. I really like it. But a couple weeks ago, our fridge, the ice maker stopped working. I'm like, are you serious? This fridge is 2 years old and the ice maker stops working already. So, you know, I tried everything. Like, okay, push, you know, try pushing this button and, you know, turning this dial and this and that. And nothing would work. Nothing would make the ice machine work. So then I thought, I know, it works with computers. Shut it down and restart it. That'll help. So I, you know, shut down the ice machine maker, restarted it. Nope, nothing. Are you serious? This went on for several days. I was so frustrated because I'm like, this stinking fridge was expensive. And now we're going to have to load it up and take it in there and get it fixed, or have someone come out here, and however much money we're going to have to pay to get this fridge fixed. This is ridiculous. And then one day I got an idea. How about looking at the owner's manual and see what it says? Oh, when all else fails, read the instructions. So sure enough, open up the owner's manual, look where it says ice maker. Yep, pull this out, push this button until it chimes, put it back in, and it works perfectly. I'm like, oh, are you serious? But I feel like sometimes we do that with ourselves. We're having an issue or a problem, or we're not sure about something. So we go to this book, or we go to this speaker, or we go to this person, or something else, and this and that. Let's go to the owner's manual first. How about that? And just see what God has to say about us. So we're going to turn to the owner's manual and see who God says that you are. So who I am. I love this. I feel this is so inspiring. God says you are a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old is gone. The new is here. You are new. He says you are loved and chosen. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. Sometimes we may have a hard time comprehending that God loves us that much and that he has chosen you, specifically you. You're forgiven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You might say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what she's done. You don't know what he's done. You don't know what anybody's done. But God knows what we've done. And he loves us so much that when we come to him and ask for forgiveness, he's right there to forgive us. And I love this. You are called irrevocable. For God's gift and his calling are irrevocable. There is nothing that you can do to change God's plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. He desires for his plans and purposes to be in your life. You may choose not to follow in that plan. You may choose not to live in that anointing and that plan. But his calling on your life is irrevocable. No one can take off that calling off of your life. You are anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind. Royal priesthood. Do you carry yourself like a royalty? You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You are prayed for by Jesus. Did you know that? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus is praying for you. Doesn't get any more powerful than that. You are assisted by angels. Hebrews 1:14 says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? The angels are sent to minister on your behalf. You're protected. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. And you are given power and authority by Jesus. Luke 9:1-2, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases and sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. You are a child of the Most High God. Your Father is the creator of the entire universe. He loves you and he deeply longs for a close relationship with you. That's who you really are. That's our true identity. You know, the reason that we know that that's who we truly are is because it tells us this right here in the owner's manual, right? These things that God says about you, they are your true identity. This is the truth. God speaks the truth, and that's what he says about you, those things right there. But you get to decide. It comes down to each one of us. We get to decide if we truly believe that, and we're going to walk in that way and walk in that anointing or not. Are we going to believe the words that have been spoken over us or our crazy thoughts or the comparisons? Or are we going to believe the truth, what our Creator has to say about us? I like this quote from John Maxwell. He says, how can you know what you truly believe about yourself and God? By your behavior. That's how we can take a look at our lives and see, how do I know what I truly believe about myself or about God? Just look at your behavior. If we truly believe Luke 4, that God has anointed us to proclaim good news and to set the captives free and to heal the sick and see the blind healed, then we will step out and pray for those people and walk in that anointing and watch God heal those and set the captives free. Our behavior will show it. Let's read a story that illustrates a young man that knew his true identity. 1 Samuel 17:20-50. I'm sure this is a story that's familiar to everybody. Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out, as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. Their behavior shows that they did not know their identity. They were fleeing from the enemy in fear. It shows they didn't know who they truly were. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." Well, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger and asked, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle." David, as you've heard his story, had had a lot of negative words spoken over him. But he didn't let that stop him. "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." He knew who he was. He knew his identity. Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." Again, in negative words. Have you ever been told, "You're not able to do that. You could never do that"? I think of the story, Pastor Bill, of when you said you started the church and someone laughed at you. You know, "You're not able to do that." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." David knew that his God was with him, and he knew that God would rescue him no matter what. He knew his true identity. So Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." We're going to skip down to 40. And he says, "Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him," big brave guy there, "kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals.'" Don't expect everyone to be happy for you if you're moving in the anointing of God. Don't expect everybody to be cheering you on. Yeah, you prayed for someone and they got healed. Not everybody thinks that's a great thing. Not everybody's excited when you want to move out in the anointing. Some people don't like that. Some people are uncomfortable with it. And sometimes that causes them to recognize maybe where they're not moving that they should be. Don't always expect everybody to be happy for you. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly. My favorite part of this story. David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. He knew who he was. He ran quickly and defeated the enemy. He knew his identity and he quickly took action. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I procrastinate. I ask God 5 million times, "Are you sure that's what you said, God? Are you sure that's what you want me to do?" And I procrastinate long enough that I talk myself out of it. David did not do that. He took action quickly because he knew who he was and he knew what God had called him to do, so he went and did it. And David's actions show that he knew his true identity. And that's just one example. What about Jonathan and his armor bearer? They're climbing up a cliff, just the two of them, and they defeat like 20 of the enemy on half an acre of ground because they knew that God was with them. Or Esther, I love the story of Esther. She stepped over her boundaries. She went in front of the king. He could have immediately had her head chopped off because that was the custom in those days. But she knew her identity and who she was. So she stepped out and God moved mightily and saved an entire nation because of her. Or Paul. I mean, he was a guy with a past, you know, but once he turned his life over to God, there was no stopping him. And I would imagine that there were people from his past that reminded him things that he had done before. But he chose not to live in his past identity. He chose to walk forward with what God had for him. He knew that his identity was that he was forgiven and that God was using him. Our actions show our true beliefs. James 2:20 says, faith without works is dead. And when you know who you are, you have faith that what God says here about you is true, and you take action. So this morning I have those scriptures. Can you hand those out, please, Tanya? I have those scriptures just, maybe one per household or however you want to do it. And I just encourage you, this is what I did with them a long time ago, was I cut these scriptures out in strips and I put them up in different spots around my house that I would see them often to remind myself of my identity. And not just that, but also to pray that over myself and my family and to declare these scriptures over myself and my family. Because when you got 10,000 negative thoughts rolling through your head every day, sometimes we need a reminder of who we truly are and what our identity truly is. And just to declare those words over your life. Have you gotten temporary amnesia? Have you had your identity somewhat stolen? I just want to encourage you this morning that God has huge, amazing plans for you. His word tells us more than we can ask or imagine, more than our human minds can imagine, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard. He has prepared for us. And I believe that we haven't even touched on what he wants to accomplish through us here while we're here on earth. So we're just going to pray this morning. Do you want to come up and we'll do that freedom song one more time? I'm going to pray this morning. If you feel like, you've had your identity stolen. You know that you're not walking in the complete fullness that God has for you. Or if you don't even know Jesus. You don't even have never accepted Jesus into your heart or asked him to forgive your sins. Then we would love to pray for you. We'll have Pastor Bill and Audrey come too. And if anyone wants to come for prayer, we would love to lay hands on you and pray for you for God to reveal to you the identity that he has for you. And for you to be set free of any past, sins or bondage that you feel are holding you back from your identity. So I'm just going to pray first here. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the amazing plans that you have for us. Thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you love us so much, Father. Thank you that we are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. We are set apart for you, Father God. And Lord, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you.